Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. My delegation wishes to thank you for your leadership in guiding this group of governmental experts and for hosting the two informal sessions earlier this year. I can assure you of our full support as we enter a critical phase in our work. Our own view on the current state of play is that we've gained some good traction and momentum over the March session and intersessional period. We are optimistic that this energy will carry on into this week, our last week under the current mandate. The stakes are high for everyone, and we look forward to working constructively with all high contracting parties to fulfill our mandate. We thank all delegations that have provided proposals and working papers to this group. Canada is pleased to co-sponsor the joint proposal put forward by Australia, Japan, the ROK, the United Kingdom, the United States, and Welcome Poland. My delegation wishes to thank the chair and his team for the tireless efforts in extracting the areas of commonality as illustrated in the draft conclusions document. We are encouraged by the emerging areas of convergence. Our position on laws has been clear, and we'll repeat it now. We believe that fully autonomous weapon systems cannot be used in a manner compliant with international humanitarian law. And Canada is concerned about weapon systems that can set and adjust their own objectives and operational parameters to commit violations of international humanitarian law. The application of lethal force must always remain under the responsibility and accountability of humans. Mr. Chair, in this group, we have heard a lot of dialogue focusing on international humanitarian law and its importance and relevance to our discussions. As we know, under IHL, all states have obligations to ensure that new weapons, means, or methods of warfare may be employed lawfully, and Canada takes these obligations very seriously. On the two-tier approach, this concept has gained momentum among a wider range of states and therefore needs to be captured explicitly in the draft conclusion document, as mentioned by some delegations already. Though the precise scope of the prohibitions and regulations are subject to ongoing discussions, clearly citing this two-tier approach will help outline the recognition of a prohibition on fully autonomous weapon systems while also underscoring the need to develop measures by which we can regulate systems that can operate with appropriate human involvement and in compliance with IHL. I'd like to emphasize the point that the area's commonality should satisfy those seeking the negotiations of a legally binding instrument and those who believe that such an instrument would be premature. By focusing on developing broad measures for the prohibition and regulation of fully autonomous weapon systems, as outlined in the draft conclusion document, we are at a point where we're not committing ourselves to any particular course of action, nor limiting ourselves should a legally binding instrument eventually be pursued under the auspice of the CCW. Mr. Chair, Canada does not see a way in which we could or should frame our discussions without the consideration of gender. Indeed, it would be a disservice to us all to proclaim that gender has nothing to do with our discussions. The evidence is clear. As many will be aware, UNIDIR has written a very useful report entitled, Does Military AI Have Gender?, which elaborates on the ways in which gender perspectives can be integrated into the development of artificial intelligence. As the report states, military application of AI that fails to account for gender differences or that do so in a way that is culturally specific has the potential to negatively affect the enjoyments of human rights and to turn back advances made under United Nations Security Council Resolution 1325 on women, peace, and security. The implications for our work on autonomous weapon systems is clear and has been recognized and echoed by several delegations. We cannot simply ignore this fact. Gender here, as with all disarmament issues, is relevant and needs to be incorporated. We will have specific suggestions on including gender considerations during the draft conclusion document negotiations. And finally, Mr. Chair, in closing, we also wish to acknowledge the important contributions of civil society that they have made and continue to make on this important issue. We support their work and indeed their presence in the room during our meetings. Canada is optimistic regarding the week ahead and look forward to working constructively with you and all delegations. I thank you.